ASNstores.com followers or anyone else who has stumbled upon this audio file, I hope it finds you well. The time is 14:45 Eastern Daylight Time on May 11th, 2013. Welcome to Episode 5 of Deadly Premonition Quick Listens. Before leaving for the Greenville General Hospital, George and I had a small altercation in the parking lot of the police department. I told him that I didn't feel comfortable being in a car unless I was the driver. He stepped aside, for now. Zach, George is still giving me the cold shoulder, but it seems as if Emily is in my corner at least. We departed for the Greenville General Hospital for the autopsy. When we got there, I met Freckly Fiona, the hospital receptionist. She's a young girl with gusto, the kind of innocent conversational rudeness you can only find in a teenager. Fiona is reading a copy of the popular Liar's House. According to her synopsis, the plot of the book is very similar to our investigation. She's aware of it, too. Apparently, my scar has become something of a rumor in town. Greenvale's inhabitants are trading wild stories as to how I got it. I decided against setting the story straight and telling Fiona about the copycat Catwoman with razors lodged beneath her nails. I must admit, I find enjoyment in being somewhat of a mystery to these people. The good Dr. Usha Johnson is a chess player, which was made evident by the puzzle he left for me to crack. During the autopsy, I discovered several things. Time of death, between 20 and 2200 hours. Anna was gripping something round in her right hand. The cause of death was initially thought to be suffocation based on the marks on her neck, but a second opinion led me to believe that it was a loss of blood from the wound. She was cut up while she was still alive and killed without resistance. Dr. Johnson posited that the perpetrator cut out Anna's tongue, suggesting a very lonely individual with some problems with women. I very kindly reminded him that profiling was my job, and I only required the medical facts from him. Emily was watching An American Werewolf in London on the night of the murder. She guessed that the rain stopped right around the time the movie ended. That means that the rain ended while Blue Moon, the ending credit song, was playing. Therefore, it can be surmised that it was still raining at the time of her death. But there are still tear marks on her cheeks, which means she was killed under a roof. Also, after close examination, it's clear that the perpetrator bit off Anna's tongue. A kiss of death, some would say. I found a fake fingernail lodged in the back of her throat, and claimed that this investigation was now under the jurisdiction of the FBI, whether George Woodman likes it or not. On my way out of the hospital, the wandering shadows were there, Zach. They followed me. I walked behind visions of Anna and battled my way through to the front entrance. Before we left the hospital, I encountered Harry Stewart. This man dresses in a very peculiar manner, wearing a full suit and a gas mask. It makes me wonder if he even needs the wheelchair he sits in. According to George, Harry owns almost the entire town, bequeathed to him by his father, who helped make it the booming lumber town that it once was. Harry was accompanied by Michael Tillotson, his assistant. One thing about Harry that bothers me is that he speaks in riddles through Tillotson. I don't particularly enjoy riddles, and I believe that a man should communicate on his own if he is able to do so. Next stop, the Greenvale Forest Park to meet the people who discovered the body at the crime scene. Until then, Zach, this is Agent York, signing off.